We are back, and you're listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm Wilmer Leon, joined here by my co-host, Garland Nixon.
Thank you, Wilmer.
Antiwar.com has a piece entitled Ukraine, U.S., Russia, Dangers of Tit for Tat, in an unusual escalation of words depicting Russia's broadened aims in Ukraine. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov today declared that Russia's military quote-unquote tasks in Ukraine, territorial objectives, are no longer limited to the Donbas. For insight into this, we turn to our next guest. He works with Tell the Word, the publishing arm of the Ecumenical Church of the Savior in inner city Washington. He was a CIA analyst for 27 years. He's on the steering group of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, Ray McGovern. As always, Ray, welcome back.
Thank you.
You wrote, Lavrov told Russia state news agency RIA Novosti, things had substantially changed since the Russian-Ukraine peace talks in Istanbul failed 4 months ago. Then the focus was on Donetsk and Luhansk in the Donbas. Lavrov said, now the geography is different. It's far from being only the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics. It's also Kherson and, help me out with that pronunciation, Ray.
Zaporozhye.
Yeah, like what he said. Oblast and a number of other territories, and this process continues consistently and persistently. Ray, why is this tit for tat so dangerous?
Well, I couldn't believe that, number one, Lavrov would say this openly, and number two, that the Western press would pretty much ignore it, and worst of all, not put two and two together. I was drafting this, by the way, when we say today, that was yesterday. I was drafting this, and I said, my God, I got to get this right up. It's on antiwar.com this morning. And then I said, you know, this is really interesting because, well, let me go to the original Russian, says Ray, because Novosti did not put out an English version. And that's why I put this in italics, you know, that we're no longer limited here. We're continuing to pursue our objectives, not only in Donbas, but in areas like Kherson and Zaporozhye. Well, you know, I had remembered that the day before yesterday, John Kirby, speaking to the White House, says, we're gonna change the situation by sending more HIMARS. Now, HIMARS, for the uninitiated, are high altitude and multiple artillery systems. Okay. Now, what's the big deal there? Well, they think their range is 50 miles. Okay. Well, even if we tell the Ukrainians now, please don't use them to attack Russian territory. The Ukrainians will salute smartly and say, well, you know, Crimea is part of Ukraine. Nobody recognizes Crimea as Russian territory. And we got a couple of favorite bridges that we'd like to act down there and a couple of other targets. So here is Lavrov saying, look, and he says specifically in the Russian translation, the Russian original that I read, he talks about HIMARS. He says, you know, I don't know. Well, I won't paraphrase him. I'll read it. He said, important, whether it is out of impotent rage that the West is losing or in a desire to aggravate the situation as much as possible, the West is pumping more and more long-range weapons. For example, HIMARS. Now, because of this, the geographic tasks of our special operation will move even farther forward from the current line. Again, quote, because we cannot allow the part of Ukraine that Zelensky will control or whoever replaces him, this is Lavrov's words here, we can't allow them to have weapons that still pose a direct threat to our territory and the territories of those republics who have declared their independence and want to determine their future on their own, end quote. So what's the deal here? Well, I'm thinking back at the White House briefing 2 days ago where John Kirby said, we're going to send more HIMARS. We're going to send more weapons so that the Ukrainians will win this. And then all of a sudden on my screen comes an announcement from the Pentagon that Defense Secretary Austin has said, the Lockheed Martin built HIMARS. We're sending four more of them, bringing the total to 16. Now, the Ukrainians keep telling us, and we believe, that they're being used, quote, effectively, end quote, and that they have already, quote, made a difference on the battlefield, Defense Secretary Austin's words. Well, hello, could the New York Times, the Washington Post, not put these two together and say, hey, guys, the stakes are really raised here. They've raised the ante, both sides. This is really, really dangerous. No. The best they did was have a couple of separate articles missing completely another quote that I chose to include from Lavrov himself. And I'll use that before I finish. He says in a very interesting article published on Monday, quote, NATO instructors and HIMARS systems aimers, he means targeteers, apparently are already directing the actions of the Ukrainian armed forces and the nationalist battalions on the ground, period, end quote. Why do I include that? Well, most people and the military experts that I depend upon don't believe that any of the Ukrainians are trained well enough to run the HIMARS. So who's doing it? Who's doing it? NATO forces, probably including U.S. forces. You know, this is a little dangerous, not a little dangerous. It's very dangerous. And if it continues on this kind of arc, we're going to be in even deeper trouble than we are now.
I see another article, Al Jazeera, Russia resumes critical gas supplies to Europe via Nord Stream 1, although I do understand they're still getting about a third of the gas that they normally get. Your thoughts on this whole gas saga wherein Europe seems to be committing economic suicide, trying to take out Russia, and it's not even working. At any rate, your thoughts on the gas saga in Europe, Ray McGovern.
Well, it's actually the leadership vacuum in Europe. These are a bunch of political hacks. When I think back to their predecessors, people like Willy Brandt, lots of people I could mention, these people pale in comparison. And what they're doing is committing suicide for the economies of Western Europe. Now, there are certain people speaking up now, the Hungarians, for example, some of the Italians, the Greek trade unions. So it's going to happen. It's got to happen soon, though. Michael Hudson, who's my favorite economist on all of this, talks about, his final line here is worth remembering. He talks about the economic damage of all this. And he says, quote, the military battlefield will be littered with economic corpses. So let's say this arc continues the way it's going, this straight line, really, not an arc at all. The economies will be shattered. There will be popular insurrections in Western Europe, mind you, and the rest of the world, that is China, India, Iran now, which has actually proved to be a real ally of Russia by approving vociferously what Putin has done in Ukraine. The world is really divided in two now, and it's these hapless sycophants in Western Europe that bow to U.S. diktat, and they don't realize, perhaps, that in just a couple of years, if not months, this diktat is not going to amount to anything. Nobody's going to listen to it. And they're going to be really freezing in the basements of their homes.
Russia restarts gas to Germany. Ray, it seems as though President Vladimir Putin is a lot smarter and much more strategic than people are giving him credit for.
Well, yeah, you know, they have to repair these things now. You know, don't forget that. They have to put them out of commission for a couple of weeks and make sure those turbines are going as fast as they're supposed to go. There are all kinds of stratagems that he can use. He's got the high cards here, and that the Europeans didn't realize that before they let themselves be harnessed into this unwinnable situation at Biden's request. You know, it's scarcely believable 77 years after the war that they can't start acting like adults. Now, as they look at Biden, you know, not only does he have COVID now, I mean, he's admitted that he can't even control Nancy Pelosi. You know, I mean, she's going to Taiwan. And Biden has just said, well, you know, my military people say she shouldn't do that. No, she shouldn't do that at all. Well, of course she shouldn't do that. Is she going to go? Well, I don't know. I mean, he's the head of the party and the head of the country. Cannot Joe Biden prevent Nancy Pelosi from stoking the fires of war with China? Apparently, it's up in the air. Will she go? Will she not go? It shouldn't be an issue at all. He should have spiked this from the outset.
That being said, there's another article again. The voice of reason of all people, this ghoul, Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State Kissinger, said geopolitics today requires Nixonian flexibility to help diffuse conflicts between the U.S. and China, as well as between Russia and the rest of Europe. Kissinger warns Biden against endless confrontation with China. Ray McGovern, your thoughts.
Really quickly, in listening to Kissinger over this span of time, this reminds me of the adage, the older I got, the smarter my dad became. go ahead, Ray.
Well, I can subscribe to that adage. He's 99, mind you. I just hope that when I'm 99, I can keep my sense of balance and my courage in speaking out at what obvious is necessary here, not a two-front situation where these crazy people in Washington think they can take on Russia and China at the same time. You know, they're out of their gourd, and most people, including some in Western Europe, are beginning to appreciate that.
He says Biden and previous administrations have been too much influenced by the domestic aspects of the view of China. Am I reading more into that than there is? Because I interpret that as Kissinger saying, you really need to stop listening to Tony Blinken, and you really need to stop listening to Avril Haines, and you really need to stop listening to all these other domestics that haven't studied this like I've studied it.
I think you're right. I think that the people who are pushing for this confrontational attitude toward China are wet behind the ears. Blinken first and foremost. You know, well, I'll say it again. This privilege that comes of having been, quote, well-educated at the, quote, best schools, end quote, and knowing nothing about practical politics, which Kissinger, love him or hate him, is expert at, you know, it's going to get us in real, real trouble. It already has. And I don't know if Biden is really up to being re-educated, because that's what it will take. Maybe, you know, we'll see how he comes out of the COVID thing. And we'll see how tonight the January 6th investigation is headed, because things are in great flux here. And in my view, if we don't deal with what happened in 2020 with respect to that, quote, stolen, quote, election, you know, we need to do that first, and then people will take us seriously and say, well, these people could be serious. Once they get rid of Biden, maybe things will improve. But, you know, things are moving too fast for that. So I fear for our country, frankly.
Ray McGovern, as always, thank you so much for your time. Greatly, greatly appreciate that analysis, and we look forward to having you back.
You're most welcome.
Folks, you're listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm Wilmer Leon. I'm joined here by my co-host, Garland Nixon. There's more on the other side. Stay tuned.